Okay, Jennifer Day is about to teach her lesson. She's going to tell us what age group. Don't forget to give us details. Details. We want to be able to write all this down. Mona, you got your evaluation sheet, and however you see it. I scan these and send these to you, Jennifer, when you're done. Okay, you may begin.
Where's all these sheets at?
Okay.
They're teaching from America or Ireland?
they're up in Wicklow. Wicklow. Oh, Bray. Okay.
Yeah.
They're from America. That's
she's brought from America.
Okay. Are we ready?
Yeah. No. Yes, of course.
Okay.
You look like a cooking show.
The rains came down as the floods came up, and the house on the sand went splash.
Okay, good job. I can hear everybody singing. Well done. All right, if you can go ahead and have a seat, that'd be great. I appreciate everybody participating. Well done. All right, let's go ahead and start with the word of prayer, and then we're going to dive into our lesson. For all that you've given me, Lord, for Christ's blessing. I pay attention as we learn from your word about the wise man and the foolish man and what Jesus had to say about these two men. Lord, we love you and thank you again for all that you've given to us. In your name, amen. All right. If you have your Bibles, I hope you brought your Bibles to Sunday school today, go ahead and turn them to Matthew 7. Go ahead and turn your Bible to Matthew 7. There we go.
Good.
that Jesus told to a large group of people one day. He was talking to the people about how they could go to heaven. Jesus spoke about two different people and houses that they built. Jesus was illustrating how important it was to both listen to his word and to obey it. Okay? So if you're there at Matthew 7, I'm going to go ahead and start reading at verse 24. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the rock that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it." Okay, so that's from Matthew. Now also, Luke records the same parable. I'm going to read that for you. It's Luke 6, 46 through 49. Listen, this is Jesus talking still. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoso cometh to me, and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house, and dig deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose, and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." So Jesus is telling this parable, and two people have taken account of this parable in the Bible. And Jesus is telling us the difference between a wise man and a foolish man. So first of all, we're going to look at the wise man, okay? The wise man in Matthew 7:24 says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock." And so first of all, this wise man, if you look at this illustration here, we have a wise man, he built his house upon a rock. Okay? He was obedient. He listened to what Jesus said, and he was building his life upon this rock. And when you build a house, you have to have proper materials and foundation. Jesus is saying that the wise man, he will build his house on a rock and can build a foundation that would support the house. So if you look at this picture here, I have Jesus as the rock. Can everybody see that picture okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So Jesus is the rock, okay? And the foundation that we are to build, first of all, we're supposed to build our life on Jesus, but the foundation that we use is God's Word, the Bible. Can everybody see my Bible?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So, in the rock is Jesus Christ, and in Matthew 16:18, Jesus tells us the truth that he is the rock, and he is the Son of God. And like I said, the foundation is the Word of God. Okay? Mona, can you tell me what happens when a terrible storm comes and it rains really hard? What happens?
Devastation, damage. Things fall down, things get blown down.
Okay.
If they're not secured
and
properly.
Floods come and rains come and the wind blows. That's what happens when a storm comes. Well, let's just look at our illustration here. As I said, this wise man, Jesus is likening him to a man that hears God's word and he does it. He is like a man that built his house, okay, on a rock. So let's see what happens when the rain comes. It doesn't follow. Okay? This man's house, it's raining it's man's house, it's still standing. Okay? That's the first man that we're going to look at. Now, Jesus also talked about the foolish man. Let's look at verse 26 and 27. It says, "And everyone that heareth these things of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto the foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Okay, so this man, he heard what Jesus said, okay, but he decided not to listen to what Jesus said. He decided, instead, I'm not going to listen, I'm going to reject what Jesus said, and he decided to do what he thought was best, okay? This man did not have a proper foundation. He decided to build his house upon the sand. Now, let's see. Francis, have you ever built a sandcastle before on the beach?
Sorry?
Have you ever built a sandcastle at the beach?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. But what happens to that sandcastle when the tide comes in, or maybe a wave gets too close to it, or the winds blow, or it starts to rain? What happens?
Destroyed.
It's destroyed. Okay, so keep that in your mind. Now, the sand is the foolish man's own way of getting to heaven. Okay? It could be the ways of the world. Could be worldly ways. It could be, you know, it says rejecting God's word. So maybe he thinks that he's being good, maybe doing good works, or maybe even just going to church would get him to heaven. But this is his own way. Maybe this man didn't think that it was important to have a proper foundation. Maybe he thought, oh, I'll be fine building my house here. I'm not in any danger. I don't need a proper foundation. Maybe he said, you know what? I'm going to do it my own way. I'm not going to listen to what Jesus said. Okay? Do you remember what happened? Saint Francis, you said that your sandcastle would get destroyed. Well, let's look at this illustration here. So we have this. The foolish man, he built his house upon the sand. And maybe there was some water over here. You have to use your imagination. And maybe he had a pretty beachfront house or something. But he decided to build his house upon the sand. Let's see what happens when the rains come and the floods come. Okay? This man's house was destroyed. That's exactly what happened to this man's house. The Bible says, great was the fall of it. This man's house fell apart and was totally destroyed because he was disobedient and rejected building his house on the proper foundation. Now, the Bible says in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only way for us to get to heaven. Just like the wise man built his house upon the rock, a sure foundation, we have to build our lives on Jesus Christ. We do that by accepting him as our Savior. Remember, here's our picture of our rock and Jesus Christ. We do that by accepting him as our Savior. Now, in our life, storms will come. The most important storm that we will ever face one day is death. When that storm comes, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll go to heaven. Because you've listened to what Jesus said, okay? You've built your life upon the foundation that Jesus said. You've accepted him as your Savior. Obedient to that, you'll go to heaven. But in John 14:6, the Bible clearly states that Jesus is the only way. That foolish man, he decided, if you look at this illustration, this foolish man decided to build his house on the sand. He was building his house his own way. And because of this, when the storm came, his house fell. Okay? And ultimately, rejected what Jesus said. Okay? Now, there are other storms that our life, in our life that we'll face. And if we face those storms and we have Jesus Christ as our Savior, He'll help us go through those storms. They might be storms of sickness, or maybe even when you're older and you have financial difficulties, maybe you don't have any money, maybe you don't have any food, or if you just have, if you go through a sad time in your life, then Jesus can help you through those times, and we can rely on Him because we can run to His Word. Maybe a storm that you might face might be a friend deciding, I don't want to hang around you anymore because you're being too much of a Christian. Maybe in school you get ridiculed or something for doing what Jesus says. You can run to the Bible, and Jesus, He can comfort you. Okay? He sends the Holy Spirit to comfort us. That's if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. So I have a few questions for you. Are you going to make the choice to listen to Jesus and what He says in His Word? Will you make the decision like the wise man to build your house, your life on Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Savior? Or will you be like this foolish man and build your house on the sand in your own way and say, you know what, that Bible, I don't need to listen to that. That Bible is outdated. It doesn't have to. It doesn't apply to my life anymore. Okay? And you're going to do things your own way, or are you going to do things like Jesus said? Now, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, will you continue to listen to what His Word says? Will you continue to read your Bible every day and tell others about Jesus so that when it comes to the storm in somebody else's life, that they build their life on the rock because maybe you've told them about that? So you know what? It's our job, after we've built our house on the rock, to tell other people about Jesus. So I want to challenge you today. If you've never understood here, if you said, I need to know more about Jesus, come talk to me after the class today. But if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, make sure that you are telling other people so that when the storm of death comes in their life, they can go to heaven as well. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You again for this lesson. Thank You, Lord, for this scripture and this story in the Bible, Lord, that can be applicable to our lives today. I pray, Lord, that we'll use these truths, Lord, to tell others about You. And if somebody here today doesn't know You as their Savior, Lord, that they will get saved. Thank You again for all that You've given to us. In Your name, amen. All right. Amen. Amen. One more time. And just get that song in your head, and that we need to build our life on Jesus. So, do we have time for that, Pastor?
What was the last thing?
Do we have time for that? To sing that?
Sing the song again.
No, I got one more person I wanted to get to teaching.
Okay, then we're done.
That's all right. Okay. I'll give everybody just a few minutes to finish up their notes on their thing. I will collect those. I will scan them and send them to you. Francis, do you think you'd like to try? Okay. Next week's going to be very tight. I'll go over the stuff for the semester, for your final, which will be on the 16th. So, all right. Well done, Jennifer. There's just a few minutes here.
Oh, hi, Leo. I think Matthew is there.
Matthew's here. What do you think? How do you think she did, Matthew?
Good.
that settles. You got 100%.
Thank you, Matthew. Okay, you all have to give me a little bit of grace, okay? Because
no, we're your worst enemies. Don't ask for no grace.
The
the lesson was the wise man and the foolish man, and the audience was children.
Yeah.
Hopefully you could discern that.
Also, you need to email me your lesson. Those of you who've been teaching your lessons, I'm supposed to get a copy of your lessons. Remember that. So.
Can we just, Pastor? Can we just turn them in on the 16th when we come down to you, or you want?
Yes,
sir.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, you can just give them to me then. Wise men built his house upon. Yeah, I just called it the wise men and the foolish man. Yep. Okay. When you finish it, then you can. Hands under me. Sweet. Okay. All right. Romeo, you're able to do your lesson next week?
Yeah.
Okay, so you saw how it was like 15-20 minutes. I think we went on. Let's see, your total time was just 20 minutes. So not bad at all. That gives room for others.
Like it?
Hmm? Yeah. No.
What did I learn today?
Well, you want
to be like a wise man?
Yeah.
Pastor, can you turn it around so that we can see Romeo teach?
He'll teach next week.
Next week.
Oh, so nobody else is teaching today?
Nobody else is ready to teach today. So next week. So, what I can do is I can print out. I can go over some of what you'll need for the final, and then I'll go over the rest of it next week. So if you've got your notes now, I've got to print you out some extra notes, and I'll get that to you in a minute. If you've got your notes, open up here. We'll just go through some of them, and I'll tell you what is going to be on the, excuse me, on the final. What's that? Yes. I'm sorry. If you have any left over from previous ones, read those as well. Thank you. Most everybody's been here in a minute. Just the room.
George Miller. How do you?
Yeah, it was a very good lesson. I really thought it was fantastic.
Well, the old question of unity. Mathis, is it? Except a Mathis again.
Yeah, there was a lot of questions.
That was excellent. Okay, if you go over in your thinking, in your lessons, I want to ask you why teach children the Bible. I give you 8 reasons why. They're on page 3. One of them is because it's commanded by Scripture. The Scripture teaches that children are naturally wicked. Children are lost, so on and so forth. I'll probably ask you for 3 of those 8. So you need to be familiar with them.
The open book exam.
Nope.
Oh, yeah, 7.
You need to review this before you take the exam. Okay. I make a point there on Roman numeral 5 on page 5. It requires less time and effort to teach many children for Christ than it takes to reach just one adult. You can reach a lot of children in the amount of time it takes to just reach one adult. So that's a very important thing.
Sorry, where is that?
Page 5, Roman numeral 6, where it says it requires less time and effort to teach many children. The principle being, again, we're learning about why teach, because it's easier to teach children, and I'll ask you probably to fill in the blank. It requires less time and effort to teach.
Page 4.
Okay, mine's page 5, forgive me. I need you to memorize Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Memorize that.
What page are you on for that?
That's page 3, I believe. Proverbs 22:6. Even the Bible agrees with this fact. Roman numeral 5. Even the child agrees with the fact, because train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. On page 5, in conclusion, ask yourself 3 questions when you're preparing to teach. What are those 3 questions? You'll see them there. What will be my church tomorrow? The people looking at you. Am I teaching my children the Bible, or what am I teaching them? And do they know Jesus as their Savior? Those are 3 things that ought to be foremost in your heart. Then it's very important about understanding on page 6 on the teacher. A teacher's example either contradicts or what when he teaches what he teaches.
Underscores
or helps what he teaches. So make sure your example is good. A teacher's attitude and the unplanned things he says make strong impressions on the pupil. If the teacher comes in and boasts about how he was, angry in the morning and he threw his cup of coffee down the sink because it was cold, and that's really going to affect the kids. So talk about attitude. You want to familiarize yourself with the things that are key, like your personality matters. You had some great teachers, didn't you, when you were in school? And you had some terrible ones. And what was the worst part of the terrible ones? Their attitude, their personality. They were as interesting as paint drying. It just was terrible. So you want to think about what are the things that are important for you to work on. Let's see. Got your things.
Three questions. Understanding. Contradiction. Teaching attitudes. Post. Personality. Is it?
What's that one?
You said about three questions we asked.
The three questions were asked there on page... on page 5. Ask yourself these questions. What will my church be tomorrow? Well, the church is the students that you're teaching today. Am I teaching the children the Bible, or am I just teaching a nice story? And do they know the Lord is their Savior? You don't want them just to know information. So, I'm going to ask yourself, what are the three questions you need to ask yourself as you prepare to teach? You're teaching the future church. And then, we'll talk about different ways of learning, but on page 10, maybe, the teacher's call. And I watch, who calls a teacher? Now, the pastor asks a teacher, but who calls a teacher? It's God. It's God. I give you a page there on testing your calling. Where's my page here? I've got to change here.
Ours is 11.
Yeah, okay, page 11, yes. Do you have on finding, what have you got on testing your calling?
I've got finding and testing.
Yes, okay. So those things now, you need to know that. How to find and test your calling. Be able to describe. How do you test your calling? Now, I have a list there on that it should be on classwork, deciding your lesson ideas. Do you see that? Deciding your lesson ideas, how you describe it and decide it or design it.
I got it. Thanks.
I don't know if you've got it here. No, it's possible. Okay, well, it's not there. All right, forget that. I went over some of the ways of how you find out, how you decide your lesson. And I think I told her, okay, well, those were just instructions. That's okay. Forget about that. The teacher's responsibility, remember, you're responsible first to who? Your responsibility first to God.
Yeah, to God.
Okay. Then you're responsible to the pastor of the church.
Where is that? That's
it should be page 11.
11, 12. The last paragraph.
And then you're responsible to those students. What are some of the things you should do for your students? And I list it there. Win them, pray for them, counsel them, teach them, lead them. I'll ask you, give me two things you should do. I gave you 9 things. What should you do with your students? You should win them, pray for them, counsel them. These are all, you've got to look for the big ideas. You don't have to look for all the tiny little details, all right? I'll ask you, what is your only textbook? And you'll say...
Bible.
Very good, very good. give you all kinds of information about, I'll probably give you some true false statements about how to win a child to Christ. I'll say, make them feel loved. Is that how you win them to Christ?
No.
That's good to make them feel loved. The way you get them, you got to put the fear of God in them, man. You can't just, They need to know that before they know, you know, sometimes we get things out of whack. Now, remember page 18, 19, somewhere around in there, you should have something called the lesson aim or the main thrust. Bless you.
Page 20.
Okay, mine's page 20 as well, good. I'll ask you, why should you have an aim? Okay. You've got to have an aim or else you're wasting your time. You've got to have a target that you're aiming at. How many aims can you have in a message? How many should you strive for?
Two.
No more than two. No more than two, okay? Because you're going to talk to saved and lost.
Where are we at?
I'm on page 20. It's just looking at these things. What is the aim? Okay. What is the purpose of my aim? Why have an aim? Mm-hmm. These things, as you just remind yourself, okay, because I'll ask you, all right, why should you have an aim? Because you're wasting your time otherwise. An aim is what is your target, what is your goal? Okay, let's see. Alright, I gave you an arrow description there. Notice my arrow, and I list that you start from A and you get to B. And you start off with study time and your preparation, then you start getting your visuals, you start doing your lesson preparation. You make sure you have an idea of what, again, I have it all in sequence. You want to start from A, which is where you're studying, and you want to get to what you want to accomplish. So all of those things you're trying to fill in as you read in your study. And I described it as an arrow or as driving.
What page is that, sorry?
I'm on page, well, that's where I wrote it, was page 24. You just had an arrow, if you remember. Well, okay, all right. I drew it up there. I was just saying that there was a sequence. I drew you a car going from A to B. How do you go from where you have no information to where you arrive at B? Well, first of all, you have to have a destination, which is what you want to teach the children. Like with Jennifer, you taught about trusting Jesus Christ. That is your goal, is to get them to completely build their life, not just their salvation, but their life on Jesus. And so, that's your goal. Well, alright, how do you do that? How do you teach that? Well, you learn about what are the costs, the consequences of living your life on sand. What are sands like? So all of the pieces that take you from A to B, and that's what that arrow is. I'll maybe not use the arrow, just ask you questions. Remember that there are seven teaching methods. You see them there on page 25. Storytelling. Question, answer. Sometimes I change it around. I'll probably list them and then I expect you to describe them. One of them I may say, acting out the lesson in the application. And you've got to come up with the word, oh, that's dramatization. Acting it out. Dramatizing. So just become familiar with what each one of those teaching methods are. Andrew, what's a point of contact?
Point of contact? Where they understand what you're talking about?
Good. That's the light bulb. That's where they go, oh, I get it. That's where you make the point of contact. How good is a lesson that you never make any point of contact? You never touch them. You never bring your point home to them. How good is a lesson? If it has nothing. If it doesn't have that.
Not any good.
It's not any good, really. Now that's kind of cruel. So the idea is you got to make sure that you make it applicable to the audience and that they get it, what you're saying. A lot of people they think religion is all airy-fairy because they've never had anybody make contact with them, never actually communicate with them. Okay. Your lesson plans and outlines, that page 35 or 34?
34, yeah.
All right, I give you all the components of a lesson. Your title, your scriptures, helpful other scriptures, your memory verse, lesson aims, teaching method, visual aids, point of contact, and then your lesson outline, and then your applications. Okay. I just have to tell you, you need to know all of those things. So if I said, what are the ingredients of a proper lesson plan, a lesson outline? Those are them. You need a title. You need scriptures. That means lots of scriptures. You can make scripture helpful scriptures the same. But your main teaching scripture is what I'm looking for. What is a memory verse you can draw out of that? What are your lesson aims, your teaching method, what are you going to use? Are you going to use dramatize? Are you going to use lecturing? Are you going to use storytelling?
When we hand in our outlines, do we have to have all these?
You should. As close as possible, you should have. I need a title. I need what scripture.
Right, right. I just didn't know if we had to have each one of these things in our outline. Or in our outline.
It helps me know that you are filling in all the blanks.
Okay.
Okay, if I can see it, I'll be okay. If you're handing it to me and it's not, and I can't find it, then you'll lose points. If I can't find, what was your aim? If I just don't see, what is your goal here? Somebody's teaching on, you're teaching on the seven feasts of the Old Testament. And I read it and I learn about the seven feasts, but I don't know why. Why am I learning about it? If you don't tell me, this is important because, then you lose points. Because I need to know, why are you teaching this? What is this good for me for? Obviously it's in the Bible, but I want to know, what is it you're trying to help me with? Okay, does that make sense? Alright. And then I need to see that you have applications, you have questions at the end that help me apply it to me. Make sure that that is all fairly straightforward. So yeah, I gave you a lesson plan sheet. What's the most important thing you can do when you're studying for a lesson? What is the most important thing you can do besides read your Bible?
Preparation.
That's probably right, but the second most important.
Preparation.
No, no, but what is the thing that I do that helps me prepare the best? I can pray all day and not get a lesson because God's not going to talk to me. I'm already reading. I'm trying to narrow it down.
Outline.
Nope, don't study before. Yeah, but how do I study? How do I know what to study?
Ask God for direction.
You can ask God. But it's ask questions.
Oh, yeah.
Every time you're reading, always come up with 20 questions about what you're reading. That will help you know, wow, I didn't know this, and wow, that's important, and some of the questions are going to be lame. But as you ask questions, that helps you figure out what's important to teach. So the most important thing, outside of prayer, outside of reading your Bible, is to ask questions.
So I'll pray to God gives me the right questions. Then.
That's right. Well, as you read, you sit back and go, I mean, how does that work? You know, what is, you know, a word? Let's use the illustration here. What questions could we ask if we're just reading about the wise men and the foolish men? What are the questions we could ask about that if you're just reading that for the first time? Or if you're reading it to teach it? Francis, what would be an important question? And these are, and not just important question, what would be a question? Just right off the bat, you should be able to ask any question.
Well, why does it matter when we build our house, as long as we're happy before we build it?
Good, okay. Why does it matter? All right, now those are big questions. Think of simple ones.
Who is Jesus talking to?
All right, who is Jesus talking to? Excellent. We should be talking to everybody. But why don't you ask questions like, what is sand like? What is sand like? It's not much better than water. Does that make sense? Okay. Ask yourself every question. What is a rock like? Okay. So when you build on a rock, what kind of house did each man build? Probably beautiful. Probably amazing houses. But the house wasn't the key. What was important?
The foundation.
It was the rock and the foundation.
Now, here's another question.
What is the foundation?
Mm-hmm. Why have a foundation? All right, what am I doing? That is, as I come up with the answers to my questions, that's important information to teach the kids. Because they won't know the questions they ask. You'll already be giving them the answers to questions they should ask. You're helping them. So always, always ask. Even dumb questions. What is sand like? You could even, like they brought sand in, you could have a bucket of sand and have a rock. Just say, okay kids, put your hands in it, look at it, oh, doesn't it feel nice, all right? But it's worthless. You wouldn't build a house on that, would you? Look at this. Put that. You could build stuff on this. Because look at me, I can stand on top of it. You're giving the kids an appreciation for the difference that maybe they don't think about. So ask yourself questions. I want you to tell me why should children look in your lessons 43, 44, somewhere there. Why should children memorize scripture? Name me at least one way to memorize, to teach children to memorize. I gave you like 12.
So the importance of teaching children memory work, it's that letter C.
That's right.
You don't have the keenest memory at this age. Is that what you're asking?
No, I'm asking why. And I give you several of them. I want you to be able to summarize why. Because it's scripture that changes lives, not your teaching ability. So you're going to teach so that they retain scripture.
Okay, got it.
I'm on page 43, memorizing scripture for 41, children. Or 41?
There should be a 41.
Let's see.
Why teach memory?
Why teach memory verses, yes. Okay, then I talked to you about why use visuals?
Because they're invaluable.
Kids are visual. Let's see.
What page is that on?
Did you say methods of memory work?
I said give me at least one, yeah. How would you teach? I talked to you quickly about discipline.
Wait a second, you're going really fast. You said what about visuals?
Yeah, I said the importance of visuals is because children are visual learners today. They don't conceive of words anymore. So you're going to be teaching words, so it's nice to have a visual is the point. So use visuals. Your visual with the two foundations, that was a visual. Your illustrations that you drew with Jesus being the rock, that's invaluable. Don't forget discipline. You must expect discipline. And somebody once said 90% of all discipline problems in a class are because of the teacher. Now Johnny, won't you just sit down, Johnny? Can't you ever just be nice? That right. Teacher needs to be shot.
What page are you?
I'm on page 66 in mine. You're on page 65 on Dave's. Okay. I gave you some rules on page 68 for preserving discipline. I'll ask you, how can you work on discipline? One of them ought to be, you expect it. Let them know. You know, I can come into a room, a mom sitting there trying to get her child under control, and I can get the child under control in 4 seconds. Because I'm out of the loop. I'm different. I just come in, and they know I expect it, and a child will come in line with me. Whereas their parents, they're like, I tried so hard with Johnny. Well, they know they can control you. So you need to expect discipline. Control. Then I gave you evaluation. I told you there are different things. And so I'll ask you to define what does it mean to have heart in your lesson? What does it mean to have authority? What does it mean to use humor during your lesson? It's fun to make... It's actually very beneficial to make your lesson fun. I mean... After your house fell, Matthew here kept going. He got the but he enjoyed the fact that that house fell, and that was a little bit of humor. It was unexpected that this thing would actually really collapse. So you make it fun. You don't just teach your lesson, so on and so forth. Then the last thing I taught you was what's wrong with most Sunday school teaching. And I'd like you to summarize. You'll probably have to tell me with your own words. It'll be a essay question. Can you summarize?
Was that last week?
That was last week. I'll print that out for you. It was a very important one. Usually last week or the week before. The problem with most Sunday schools are they have no burden. They don't care about teaching doctrine. They have no depth, no authority. And you can summarize that. You don't have to list all of them, but give me an understanding of 3, 4, 5 of those things in a paragraph. Okay? So, that's your semester. So you can already go ahead. I'll get you the last pages. Where is your last page from this?
Sunday school.
In Sunday school.
I'm 30, I think.
What is it?
30.
30. All right. I'll get that and print that for you.
One of these things. That's it.
Should be beyond 30.
I have this and many classes.
Okay.
This and this.
They're both the same. Which one?
Which
why do you have two? Okay.
I have two. Okay.
And you don't have any more pages from
no.
that? Okay, all right. I will try and get to that to you now. Okay.
I'm missing a few previous pages as well.
Sure.
67 to 72.
Okay, you're all right.
And last week.